Hi, I'm Rob Wright with CRN, and I'm here with our networking editor, Chad Bernstein. Chad, how's it going?
Doing great, Rob. Doing great.
Chad, you are at the Exchange Public Sector event in Jacksonville, Florida right now. You are here, our man on the spots, reporting about the goings-on at our conference. I guess we'll jump right into it. Tell me what's going on down there. What's been the big news so far?
Well, there's been a lot to talk about. I mean, this is Everything Channel's annual event where we gather, you know, public sector focused VARs and integrators and a lot of the vendors and analysts who cover this space specifically to do a couple days of good discussion on what's going on in public sector selling. But the big news in public sector IT as a whole is that, we heard this morning that Vivek Kundra, the first ever federal CIO, is going to be leaving the White House in August to take a post at Harvard. I think Politico, the Politico magazine, was first to have that news a little bit earlier. And, the White House has since confirmed that that Kundra is going to be leaving. So lots of chatter about that in the halls here.
That's obviously going to have a big effect on federal government as a whole, because as you know and I know, we've written about this extensively. He had some pretty big plans for the federal government's IT infrastructure. He was he's very big into the cloud, very big into data center consolidation, which are two big areas right now for the channel across the board, not just the public sector, but seemed to be a very savvy CIO in that respect. What are you hearing from, what's been the reaction? What are you hearing from partners?
Well, I think kind of a mix of disappointment and, you go back to March of 2009 when Kundra was appointed, and there was, as you said, this terrific optimism. I mean, Kundra is very much into cloud, into data center consolidation, into a lot of the efficiency and infrastructure efficiency type technologies that are going to help governments, especially cash-strapped governments, be they the federal government as well as public sector entities in general, become more efficient. I mean, his big thing, Kundra's big thing, has been cloud first. He's been able to get quite a few projects off the ground, or at least the wheels in motion to make the government more transparent and also more efficient in how the agencies purchase their technology. He had his 25-point plan for federal IT reform. It's what's probably going to be remembered as his signature initiative. Part of that has been dramatically overhauling the timelines for the execution completion of government IT projects. The White House has credited him with saving $3 billion by either canceling or downsizing a number of wasteful IT projects that had gone past their deadlines or millions over budget, and just kind of trimming a lot of the fat from that. And then specific to data center consolidation, in that 25-point plan, it was included that he was going to shut down or consolidate 800 of the government's approximately 2,100 data centers, which was supposed to save about another $3 billion, and also shift substantial portions of the government's IT ops to a cloud, to an as a service model, which eventually was going to save another $5 billion. So, Rob, these are not small dollar amounts. It's he drove a lot of this, and we did talk to a lot of the solution providers here at Exchange Public Sector. And I mean, again, it's disappointing. It stems from the fact that this is something that happens so often in Washington. You have a charismatic spearhead like Kundra who gets a lot of these things in play and talks a really good game. And then he's on his way out before a lot of the legwork is finished. And the solution providers have been telling us all day there's just been a little too much disruption in the people in government who end up owning these things. And, as they said, there's probably some political stuff going on behind the scenes. Maybe Kundra couldn't get the sign-offs he needed on some things. Maybe he just got a little tired of the Beltway. Who knows? But, it's the same old story. The government takes on big initiatives. Leadership changes right in the middle of it. And you know, something that that looked very promising is actually left behind as kind of a half finished mess in many cases.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we, like you said, we do see this a lot in government, typically with, you know, cabinet level positions and the positions underneath those cabinet heads. Rarely do they finish out the sort of the 4 year term and move on to the next term. But this obviously took a lot of people by surprise, and I have to imagine just reading the responses that you guys have gotten down there in Florida, and just reading some other coverage as well, that there's got to be some concern that maybe some of these projects are not going, like you said, they may be kind of left to twist in the wind, and this, especially the cloud computing stuff, which he seemed very savvy about, might get sort of brushed under the rug. I spoke to a solution provider recently. I spoke to Roy Steffen, Vice President of Technology Solutions at Intelligent Decisions, who was one of our 500 award winners for public sector. And he was basically saying how, you know, in the last couple of years, the federal government has gotten very savvy, very adept at understanding and examining the cost savings of cloud computing, and that they're looking very hard at moving stuff even to the public cloud, not just building private clouds for you know, for different government agencies. It seems like that may be in jeopardy now, because obviously we know that there are a lot of private sector businesses that don't want to go toward toward cloud computing. And government's never been known to move very quickly and move, you know, sort of be at the bleeding edge of a lot of technology trends. So I got to think that this is going to, you know, unless they get somebody in there who's like-minded, that this is going to maybe curb that movement into the cloud.
I would think so. I you know, I think that's a really good way to talk about it, Rob. I mean, the government is a slow moving and very slow to adapt entity, especially when it comes to the technology and it purchases and uses. And I think, you know, what's kind of heartbreaking about you know, this Kundra move is that I mean Kundra was the first federal CIO. I mean, this was a new position when it was first discussed, you know, 3 years ago or so. You know, a lot of the more jaded folks in the Beltway just thought it was going to be, you know, some sort of trumped up technology evangelist role, you know, someone to give speeches on the benefits of technology. But when it came to sharpening what the government did on its procurement and bringing, you know, next gen technologies and more efficient models like cloud into particularly the federal space, there wasn't going to be a whole lot of movement.
Right.
I think, I mean, the consensus, I think, is that Kundra proved a lot of that perception wrong. He's been very active in assigning deadlines and making sure that that a lot of these things start to get off the ground. And I, you know, Rishi Sood, who heads up kind of the government research practice for Gartner and has spoken here at Exchange and has been at our Exchange events a number of times in the past. You know, he kind of riffed on the fact that right now, you know, in public sector, in government, is the inflection point of serious interest in the cloud model. You know, we're over the hump of, will this work? Is this really worth it? Is it secure? A lot of the concerns, you know, that were percolating over cloud even a couple of years ago, but that Kundra's leaving now, just as we're kind of moving from acceptance of the cloud model into some of the actual implementations, is going to disrupt a lot of that, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned Sood in his session. One of the things that I thought was very interesting, I was reading the coverage that you guys have put together from the event down there. One of the things I thought was very interesting that he said was he told our colleague, our news editor, CRN news editor Steve Burke, that that Kundra's departure was, you know, sort of a harsh reality of the, you know, the federal government's IT, you know, IT market. And I'll read you a quote here. It's kind of interesting. He said, quote, you can't just depend on that singular leader to make sure that there are wholesale changes across all of the federal government. There has to be that pent-up or mitigating factor that drives the change within the agencies. And with respect to the federal government, it is not the leadership in a lot of respects. It's the budget hammer that is going to drive real change. I thought that was interesting. And you had mentioned earlier just sort of one of the themes that is being talked about down there is sort of this budget crunch. I mean, obviously, we're still not out of the woods in terms of sort of the tenuous economic position that we're in as a nation. But in particular, the state and federal budgets are in pretty bad shape. What's sort of the discussion happening down there about the budget crunch?
Well, and absolutely, you know, the budget hammer is the term that that Sood used, because it is a hammer. I mean, it's what's sort of coming down and being the impactful force on a lot of the discussion. I mean, the money that's getting spent that is going to be spent in Fed and particularly state and local. And is going to be about cost optimization. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the long and the short of it. It's got to be, everything has to be focused on really taking cost out of government, really eliminating waste, really, signing off on projects that are really going to accomplish a lot for a little. And from the standpoint of how VARs solution providers play into that, I mean, if you're not leading with cost optimization, if you're not leading with, reshaping the data center using cloud, using virtualization and a lot of these technologies we've been talking about, if you're not tailoring your services mix, toward business process outsourcing, toward software, hardware, platform, infrastructure as a service, you're just not going to be of much appeal for these guys. I mean, they really have to look hard at their procurements and have to look hard at what it is they've done in the past that's been wasteful and how to fix that going forward. I mean, it's got to be a systemic change because, as you just said, as we've heard all day, administrations come and go. If there are, who knows what's going to happen in 2012, but we do know that, certain heads of particular agencies may drag their heels on putting in place Obama administration priorities simply because they disagree with a lot of the ideology. And if mm-hmm. If the wind seems to be blowing that we have a new president come 2012, they're not going to step over each other to put a lot of these plans in place. So absolutely. I mean, it's not so much the people involved and the drivers as it is preserving costs for the long haul, really taking a lot of unnecessary costs out of it.
And obviously, the like you said, the tools that government solution providers are using to promote that sort of cost savings, that budget or cost reduction during this budget crunch is things like virtualization, cloud computing, data center consolidation. I'm wondering, though, do solution providers, at least the ones that you've heard from down there and have talked to lately, do they feel like government spending as a whole on IT maybe may start to ebb a little? Some of these projects are going to start to be pulled back?
There's that concern is there. I mean, because from a macro point of view, they do, they do keep hearing, especially on the state side, about just this ongoing budget gap and a lot of the challenges certainly faced in the municipalities and the loss of resources. Mm-hmm. Gartner's Rishi Sood told us that the federal government spend on IT between 2011 and 2014 is going to be flat from on into next year, pick up a little bit and contract a little bit by 2013 and then pick up again in 2014, rising above the nearly $80 billion or so number it's pegged at in 2011. But again, that's all going to depend on certainly on the economy, where we're at with economic growth here in the U.S., and also, of course, who the next president is, what the administration is going to look like. But I think, you know, another one of the big takeaways was, you know, the solution providers really have to kind of get up to speed on how the procurement of by agencies in particular is changing. Firm fixed price contracts, for example, have come very much in vogue over the last couple of years. And, you know, firm fixed price meaning when the public sector entity purchasing the technology pays the purchasing the technology or service pays the contractor a fixed amount that won't vary, and you know the burden of accountability is shifted more to the contractor to deliver on what's promised, and you know the integrators have kind of more freedom to tailor the solutions based on what they think the entity needs, but are even more on the hook than ever before for getting it executed. And then the other thing that we keep hearing about is shared services. That was part of Vivek Kundra's 25-point plan, in which you know the government is requiring federal agencies to research tactics for applying shared services. You know, drawing from shared resources, not spending so much in sort of these siloed procurements, and you know, really trim costs that way. I mean, that stuff is certainly happening, and VARs solution providers in this space have been advised to make sure they keep watch on that.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems, I guess from your perspective, it seems that state government is a little bit more challenged right now, budget-wise, than federal government. Are there any particular agencies or opportunities that you're hearing about or that VARs are speaking about right now that you know, may offset that that ebb or that budget hammer?
Well, we've here at the conference, we're going to hear a lot. I think later this week from some state CIOs and looking at a lot of where their priorities are. I certainly, from what we've heard from them so far, and what we've heard from a lot of the speakers specific to federal so far, is that healthcare remains, you know, one of the biggest opportunities, be that, you know, agency contract opportunities related to Department of Health and Human Services, related to the VA, or, you know, certainly speaking about healthcare more broadly, you know, the fact that we do have more than 900,000 doctors in the U.S. and 70% of them are in small practices and do have to reach a certain government mandated requirements for electronic medical records and the infrastructure needed to support electronic medical records within the next couple of years. That was Rob. That was a big thing from Mike Humpke, the former head of public sector channels for HP, now senior director of business development for vertical markets at distributor Ingram Micro. He spoke today, and you know, he put it this way. I mean, it's what's the most expensive electronic medical record system a healthcare entity can buy, and the answer he gave is the second one, meaning that these guys just can't afford not to get a lot of this right the first time they make investment and do the implementations, and they really are looking to solution providers to help them out, to be that resource. So kind of a long roundabout answer to your question, but you know, definitely healthcare is what we keep hearing about. As technology goes, certainly mobility is bigger than ever before, and on radar, securing mobile devices and a wide range of different mobile devices. Same story, obviously happening right now in the enterprise, and you know, just focusing on services mix. You know, looking to see what's going to appeal to a lot of these agencies. Rishi Sood brought up another interesting point in that application outsourcing, IT outsourcing, business process outsourcing are growing at a pretty interesting clip, whereas more traditional systems integration is flat to down. Mm. So there's a shift in the types of services being called for too.
That's interesting. Okay. You mentioned security on mobile devices, but I did want to ask, has there been much discussion down there or among any VARs that you've talked to recently about, you know, these the rash of cyber attacks that we've seen. I mean, just this week, you know, we've had hacker groups like Anonymous and Lulzsec making headlines for, you know, breaking into or I should say launching denial of service attacks and hacking into databases of various businesses and government agencies. A U.S. Senate website was hacked. And, I mean, just the list goes on and on. I'm wondering if security might become, I guess, a bigger point of discussion as there are more and more breaches like this, especially for the government. I mean, this could be really embarrassing to have not just websites be defaced or inaccessible, but to have data taken from them by these groups who are, you know, in the example of Lulzsec, they're celebrating it pretty brazenly right now. So has that been talked about much down there?
It's definitely has, you know, certainly a part of Rishi Sood's presentation and what we've heard from others is that the focus on government healthcare, on cybersecurity, and particularly secure communications, secure mobility is, you know, if it's not front and center now, it's absolutely going to be over the next few years. I mean, everyone sees these attacks happening. Everyone's certainly aware that, you know, that these types of cybersecurity snafus, these types of hacks and breaches and everything else, you know, moved from the realm of hackers doing it for the glory years ago to full-fledged criminal business and operations now. I mean, it's front and center. There's a lot of discussion happening out there. It's also a part and parcel with the mobility discussion. I mean, yeah. We're going to let people have their iPads, have their Android devices, have whatever they want, and have you know that you know have the devices of their choice as part of the networks. They have to be secured, and they have to be able to stream and access applications and draw from, you know, kind of that cloud based resource pool. Securely. I mean, it's, you know, if you're going to attack someone, you'd attack the government, you know, in one respect, because you do see, obviously, the importance of safeguarding information and in a lot of these big government agencies, particularly the defense focused ones, is paramount. So, yes, definitely a discussion, top of mind for a lot of the CIOs, for a lot of the procurement officers, and a lot of the solution providers too.
Hmm. Anything else happening at the event? Any other news?
Well, I think one of the more interesting presentations we did here, just to kind of tie this off, was from David Green, who is senior director of global solutions readiness and alliances at Motorola Solutions.
Okay.
He talked, wasn't so much focused specifically on public sector dynamics, but really looked at, you know, how solution providers, regardless of their customer base, be it, you know, enterprise, government, SMB, what have you, you know, you have to change your model. You can't expect to get by on outmoded reselling models. And, you know, that's a little bit trite at this point. That's a little bit obvious to say, because we've seen this shift happening. But, you know, he was big on discussing how the ecosystem of partners in the channel extends not only to VARs, traditional integrators, solution providers, but also more to increasingly those VARs, those resellers working with ISVs to develop business applications, and also working with carriers, you know, telecom service providers, you know, to craft these kind of full bore solutions. And, you know, Rob, but we all know, we've heard a lot of talk lately about how there's this convergence going on between the telecom agent channel and the IT VAR channel, and specifically, you know, how a lot of the carriers are kissing up to the IT channel like ever before to reach customers and access the relationships that a lot of the IT channel VARs have access to. So, you know, there's one more endorsement from a major networking vendor that this is a trend that's not going away. I mean, Green said it: partner with the carriers, seek out the carriers. You have bench strength. VARs have bench strength, that is, and you know they want to access that to bring them into areas they're not in already. And he, you know, he said something interesting that, you know, we talk a lot all the time at CRN about what kind of the next generation VAR, next generation solution provider is going to look like. And you know, Green kind of phrased it as, you know, VAR not just someone who sells resells point products and ties some services on, but can offer these much broader solution sets that can, you know, can show partnership with an ISV for enterprise application development,
right,
can offer, you know, really, you know, full-fledged software as a service, infrastructure as a service, hardware as a service to both expand the solution and, you know, for the VAR, expand the annuity revenue and incremental revenue opportunities. Partnerships with carriers, learning to scale businesses, learning to aggregate and really stitch together cloud services into something that's going to be very tailor-made for that customer, and of course, you know, make all of that secure. And if you know, if I'm a VAR trying to figure out how what I'm going to do to make myself more attractive to customers, to separate myself from the pack of other resellers, I mean, these are the areas that, you know, we need to be looking. So I think a lot of the attendees here got a lot from Green, Motorola Solutions, David Green, about conceptually what they should be looking like in a couple of years.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know. I'm sure we'll be keeping an eye on that carrier development as well as we move forward here. Chad? I appreciate the time. I know you're busy down in Florida at the show, but thanks for joining us and giving us a report from Exchange Public Sector.
Happy to be here, Rob. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.